Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Confidence, performance, better sex. That's BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. BlueChew's here to help you. Sometimes you don't want to admit you need help, but you need a little bit of help. Sometimes you just want that extra confidence boost. That's what BlueChew provides. Take an online consultation, and if approved, you're going to have a chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis that will help you perform whenever you're ready, or maybe whenever you're not ready and you just want to be ready. No awkward doctor's visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew ships straight to your door. Use that promo code FIGHTFUL, get your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. BlueChew.com/FIGHTFUL. Get that confidence. Get that performance. Get that main event edge. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to FIGHTFUL. It's January 8th, 2025, and we are here to hump. And we can hump for an hour straight, thanks to Blue Chew. Don't even need a code anymore. It's still in the ad reads, but Blue Chew hit me up, and they're like, listen, we know the results that you bring. You know the results that we bring. We don't even need a code anymore for 2025. And I said, heck yeah, brother. Heck yeah. So by God, there we are. Blue Chew, big thank you to them for returning for 2025. We got Jimmy Van here. Jimmy, you unprofessionally and summarily didn't show up last week on the show. I didn't know until about 40 minutes into a show, of which I had no co-host, and you started to text me about some guy just waffling about on Twitter.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I was like, hey Jimmy, you know, we got a show right now. And you're like, oh yeah, about that, I'm not doing it.
I honestly forgot it was Wednesday because it was New Year's Day, right?
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, I had family over and I was out, you know, kind of late the night before.
Sure wish I did.
I forgot it was Wednesday.
I told them they couldn't come because it was a Wednesday, Jimmy.
Oh,
I didn't do my show.
You and I didn't connect on that. I guess maybe next year. Next year, show.
Yeah. Yeah. Full disclosure, guys. No show next Wednesday. Jimmy, let's see. What does he have to do? Should I say what he has to do? What do you all think Jimmy's going to go do?
Just say what you're going to do, Sean.
Okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to be driving up to Cincinnati. I'm going to be delivering some of the FIGHTFUL awards. We are still working to nail down a date on when they will be, when the show will air. And it's funny because I did nominations and voting way earlier this year because I was like, I want it done first week, second week of January. And now we're waiting on WWE and AEW to help us out with some acceptance speeches. We've already got several. Jimmy, I'll actually tell you about one that I'm actually very proud of, even though it technically wasn't from a person who won. We got one today or this week, very excited about it. But the FIGHTFUL Awards presented by NordVPN. Boy, are you guys going to see me pushing NordVPN an awful lot the next 2 months, because it's going to be a very versatile sponsor for wrestling fans. And Jimmy and I will explain why later. But Jimmy, it's been a big week. Raw on Netflix debut. I can tell you our socials, FIGHTFUL and mine, a combined 21 million views on tweets that night. Something I only saw the first all or the 2023 all in and maybe a couple WrestleManias. That's it.
Yeah.
So, man, as far as engagement, an all-timer night.
I saw a lot of people on social media basically saying, I'm going to be checking out WWE for the first time. I saw a lot of that, especially including from like celebrities and athletes and people like that. There's a lady that works for ESPN and I, Kay Adams.
She's wonderful. One of my favorites. Yes. Bengals fan. Kay Adams.
She went to the show and is not a fan and went to the show and put over, I saw her do an interview the next day wearing a Raw hat, putting over the experience. This is
with AJ Francis. So it was so funny.
Yes. With AJ Francis. It's, that's right. Yes.
So she goes, it's the most welcoming fan base. And he goes,
she went on Twitter.
Now.
Yes. And she already got, I already saw people were already shitting on her for no reason. You know what I mean?
That's,
on Twitter.
That's wrestling, man.
Yes.
That is wrestling. Yes.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
Jimmy, I got people saying that I'm out here rubbing thighs and snorting coke and all kinds of shit all the time. So like a poor woman, just because she's a woman is going to get weirdos, but like it's objectively like a major, major time for pro wrestling. And, you know, listen, right now there are some things that you can look at and you're like, okay, you know, SmackDown numbers aren't what they used to be. AEW's ticketing isn't what it used to be, but I think that there are a couple of moves here with the AEW to Max, with Raw on Netflix, and I mean especially Raw on Netflix, that are going to really help blow things up. And I mean just from like what I think it was Cena that mentioned it. It's the first time that like the whole world has been able to watch Raw at the same time.
Like that's right.
It's not airing the next day on tape delay somewhere else. The whole world can watch and react to it live. And you know, maybe you're up at what 1-2 in the morning in the UK and you're like, yeah, I feel like watching Raw. I feel like keeping those hours. You can do that now. AEW this past week did very similar viewership than what they did the week prior
on TBS.
On TBS, even though they added Max and tons of people I knew were watching Max. Not only that, as I was looking at it, I'm like, oh, their lead-in was like half of what their previous week's lead-in was. So, I mean, even with those things, they did very similar numbers. So, objectively, it seemed that like that had helped their first week as well. They popped at least a bigger collision number a couple weeks ago. Then it fell off. But like it felt like everybody was talking about WWE Raw on Monday. Yeah. And that hasn't happened in a long time. I had a lot of people in my day-to-day life that were hitting me up and asking me things about WWE. Had people in the MMA world that are like, how can I get involved in pro wrestling?
Really?
WWE, yeah. A lot of stuff like that was happening.
I mean, Raw was the number one show, television show yesterday. I don't know about today, but yesterday on Netflix in the U.S. and Canada. It beat Squid Game and everything else. And so obviously we know it did big numbers. It's not going to do that every week. You had the curiosity factor.
Of course.
But it did really well. The show itself, I thought, was just okay. You know, some of it was good. Some of it was kind of head-scratching. My very first question for you, Sean, did NordVPN help you with the commercials?
Hell yeah, they did. So, admittedly, our great partner at NordVPN.com/Fightful, which, listen, this can serve as their ad read very early in the show. Then we'll go ad-free. This is legitimate. I had been on my US VPN or my US location and I started to get commercials and I was like, I've got the premium. Like, am I getting commercials? Like what's going on here? And then I was like, okay, well, let me just switch it over to UK. And I did. And I was like, oh, well, that was easy. Cause YouTube TV, it can be a little bit of a hassle sometimes. Mm. Netflix is no problem. I logged on over there. And when you do that with NordVPN.com/Fightful, you can also watch NXT live. That helped out Denise last night because she was doing her watch along. She's like, hey, are you able to help me out with this? And I was like, yes, I am. Get on your Nord, switch it to international. You can watch NXT on Netflix as well. SmackDown, PLEs. Yes. If you switch it over to international, you'll be able to watch on NordVPN.com/Fightful, which, listen, I'm sure they ain't thrilled with me mentioning this, not Nord.
I was going to say WWE. Peacock and USA.
I'm sure they ain't thrilled with me mentioning it. Listen, pay me some money. Do what Nord is doing and show us some love because for the price of 1 month of cable, that's like 2 years of Nord, if I'm mistaken. And they got 24/7 tech support. But legitimately, this is going to be a thing that we hammer home an awful lot. Like, man, I absolutely love NordVPN. They've been with us for now. This will be what we're going on the third year. We have a short-term agreement with them through the end of February, and hopefully they are with us forever. Because let me tell you guys, this Netflix deal ain't going away. So it's going to be a good time.
Well, I want to break down some stuff about the show. And the first one right out of the shoot is this Hulk Hogan thing. So when they, when they initially when they announced Hogan was going to be on the show, my initial gut reaction was WWE's not reading the room. Because it's not going to go well. But then the thing is, they kept his promo to like 2 minutes. And so my first question for you is, do you think they were aware that there might be fan backlash, but they did it anyway because of the beer partnership? Like, do you think they knew going in he's going to get hated? Or do you really think they thought this was going to pop the crowd?
So here's a free ad for FightfulSelect.com. Soon to be the best $6 in the business. We want to six you up. But I was going to post something, and I still might a little bit later today, on the Hulk Hogan situation, because they go into things kind of knowing that it's a possibility, which a lot of people said, oh, they didn't bring him out to the ring. They didn't bring him out to the ring because he's an old man. They didn't want him to walk that far.
He can barely walk.
Yeah, dude can barely walk. But they, after seeing him get booed in previous shows, they kind of know that that's going to happen, but they got this beer sponsor. So it's sort of like the AEW Ric Flair thing with the Woo Energy, which is now over. And now you don't see Ric Flair. You don't hear from Ric Flair, anything like that. WWE had not really featured Hulk Hogan much. I think the last time he was on the air was a year before in a video. And before that, he hadn't been featured in a while. Maybe he popped up in something else, but like, they know at this point. It was a big talk among wrestlers backstage as well. Like, there were a lot of people discussing this. And like, you even see Bronson Reed. That dude does not give a shit. He'll just say what he wants, which I love. But like, they gotta know at this point.
And, they have to.
And for anybody to say it's just because of politics, I'm like, I'm sorry, man. Being a racist is not, it shouldn't be viewed as, oh, that's a political thing. I mean, unfortunately, in the situation that we're in, it is very often, but The Undertaker didn't get booed. He got cheered, resoundingly cheered, being out there. Like, we don't see other people that are right-wingers that are getting booed just because of that out there. Hulk Hogan did. People are sick of him. He adds nothing.
I agree. Like, I think it was a combination of factors. I think the political thing was one of the factors, because I think Hogan is much more associated with Trump than Taker is. You know, he did the campaign rallies and all this shit. But the thing is, Hogan, in terms of like the controversial comments, he made some again recently, you know, like he made comments about Kamala Harris and other stuff. So I agree with you. I don't think it was just a political thing. I think it's the other stuff, but I think it's a combination. You know what? I grew up in the 80s. Hogan was the man. That was 40 years ago, Sean. With all due respect to him, that was 40 years ago. And his reputation now is not anywhere near what it was 40 years ago. It's just not. And it's too bad.
What does it say that his reputation was better in and around a steroid trial, a federal trial, than it is now? Because
100%.
Dude said, like, and again, before anybody tries to downplay, because I had somebody trying to downplay it in my reply saying, oh, some things that he said when he was at rock bottom and intoxicated. Bro, it wasn't one time.
It wasn't one time.
It was several times. And again, let me reiterate, this man was so specifically racist that when his son almost killed his best friend in a car accident, Hogan picks up the phone. Hey, Nick, what's up? You know, gee, a thing that I am really concerned about, he says, was his family, as a result of karma, being reincarnated into a black family.
Right. I forgot about that one.
That is so comically, like, and it's specifically racist, that if that was written into a movie, a comedy movie, I'd be like, that's kind of unbelievable.
Right.
Like, that's a little too much. Like, come on. What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? And look, people are saying Hogan still sells more Mattel action figures. Brother, I don't give a fuck. Somebody says he did apologize. No, what he did was go back and talk to talent and say, You got to watch out for those cameras, brother. How do I know? Because I talked to those talent. Because one of those talent called up my shoe guy when they saw that he was working on a Hogan shoe, and they said, this is what he said. We don't mess with him. We don't fuck with him. Like, come on now. Come on now.
Yeah, what's going to be interesting, so they aired spots for the next Saturday Night's main event, and they had Hogan cutting promos for that, so they got that in there. I presume they're going to have him involved with the next Saturday Night's main event, but they also bought a stake in the beer. This isn't just a sponsorship thing. They bought a stake in it, so it's going to be interesting how it plays out, but yeah, that one was a head-scratcher. Another thing that I wanted to get your opinion on that, to me, was very different. The acknowledgement on their actual television show that they are entertainment. It's one thing when Hunter, it's one thing when Hunter does a presser, right? And he talks about the behind the scenes, or when, let's say, you interview a WWE talent and you talk about the behind the scenes, and that's different. But on their actual fictional television show, you know, they played the cold open where Hunter talked about heel face, shoot work. He addressed it in the post-show presser and he said, people know what we do. It's an art form. Right? That's what he said. The Rock, who's supposed to be the heel final boss and who before WrestleMania bloodied up and laid out Cody Rhodes, goes out there as the good guy Rock, puts over Cody Rhodes, shares a tequila with him. That was interesting. Michael Cole referred to Seth Rollins in the main event as Colby Lopez.
Yeah, that one I didn't mind.
It was just different for me. It was different. I'm not saying this is good or bad. It was just different.
There were some that I looked at. Like, I don't mind the Colby Lopez thing at all. Like, now again, also Roman, you know, when he had his cancer diagnosis, saying, my name is Joe.
Right.
It's like, that wasn't necessarily a part of the show. You know, that was them saying, this is what's going on. But like, everybody knows they have ring names. Like, I don't believe that his first name is Under, his last name is Taker or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, he's the, Under.
His first name is the. Yeah. So I didn't have a problem with that. What it felt like to me was that the first, literally up until The Rock said, let's get this show on the road.
Yep.
That was almost like the pre-show to me, like this is us addressing Netflix and all these people. I will say this, if any other company did that on their airwaves, you wouldn't see WWE giving a shit about it because they just wouldn't have said anything. But you'd see a lot of the fans. You'd see a lot of those little weirdo Instagram accounts that will take a video and put a little caption above there. You'd see them burying that no matter like where else it came from.
Yeah, it was very
different. The person says, I'm glad my first time chatting, Sean yelled at me. Nice. Okay, sorry. You sat there and like tried to say that because Hulk Hogan sells a lot of action figures. Like, well, I ain't got to see him on my TV. Like, I don't have to, I don't need to see him on programming if he sells a bunch of action figures. I don't give a damn. I'm not a stockholder. It's not my thing. Like, I don't need to.
Well, back to this point, like, here's a question for you. And again, I don't care that they did it. Like, this is not me shitting on him for it. It was just something different. Do you think that they did this intentionally? And I'm talking about pulling back the curtain on their actual fictional Raw television show. Do you think they did it because they think we're dealing with a more sophisticated audience on Netflix? I think that's
probably why. I don't expect them to do it more. I don't think that they'll be doing it like anymore on that show. Like, what I could see is like maybe some behind the scene features and stuff like that, which we see all the time. But like, I don't expect to see it on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, or anything like that.
Like, I saw somebody.
Not a more sophisticated audience, because, like, I mean, Jesse Pinkman and Walter White didn't like go action
right
like that. You know what I mean? Like,
And this to me is the difference. Like, I saw somebody in the chat say, well, they did this on the WWE Network all the time. But again, this to me is the difference. Raw is your fictional television show. That's where you have your characters and your storylines. And that's why for me it was different. And again, I'm not crapping on it. It was just something that I noticed that was very different. I want to talk about some of the good on the show, because there was some good on the show. The venue looked incredible. I thought the picture on Netflix looked great, really sharp, really bright, no buffering, which is a good thing. The camera angles, like the drone entrance for Jey Uso.
Woo, amazing. That was incredible. That's one of the most incredible shots I have ever seen in sports.
It was really good.
Like, that drone shot was incredible.
You know what else was good? Punk, when he's walking down the aisle, he turned, because you know when he always turns to show his back? And then the drone camera, while he turned, he looked right at the drone, and then the drone zoomed out. When Punk that looked amazing. The matches themselves felt like PLE matches. I know people complained there was only like four matches, but they gave them a lot of time. Roman Reigns one was like,
I mean, Roman Reigns. I guess Liv and Rhea did like 11 minutes.
Was that all? It felt like it was more than that.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
It didn't get nearly, it was 11 minutes and 40 seconds. So here are the times: 21 and a half for Reigns and Solo, 11:40 for Liv and Rhea, 10:20 for Jay and Drew, and then 19 minutes for CM Punk and Rollins. So the first two, or the first and last, definitely did get PLE time.
I liked the finish of Drew Jay. It reminded me of Diesel Bret Hart. Remember when Diesel's dominating, Bret catches him with a small package? Reminded me of that. Yep. Liv Rhea was the right finish. Rhea, I'm sure, is going to move on to something else now, so that was fine. Rollins and Punk. Hunter basically acknowledged in the scrum that this is the first of many, so they're going to do a series. That kind of makes sense. The intro video packages, and I understand that they did this because they were expecting a lot of new fans, a lot of lapsed fans. Michael Cole talked to Pat McAfee during the day, basically said, we're expecting a lot of new fans, we're expecting a lot of lapsed fans. They would do all these intro video packages where they would introduce who the wrestlers are, they would introduce the background of the story that they're in, and I watched that and I thought to myself, AEW needs to do this more. When AEW brings somebody new on the show, they should do more stuff like this more. And you know, when you would see this discourse online, Sean, people would say, well, just Google it. That's not how you produce a successful television show. You don't expect your viewer to do the legwork for you. You do it for them. I like the intro videos. Do you think, again, because there was only four matches and there's a lot of wrestlers that weren't in the ring, do you think they're going to keep doing this until like everybody's had a rep? Or do you think this is like first week we're doing it, and then after that, if the Viking Raiders are in the ring, it is what it is?
Like,
what
do you think? They showed the Viking Raiders on this show. I think that was their way of introducing people to an awful lot of guys. And it was their way of the audience tuning in to see CM Punk and tuning in to see The Rock and John Cena and Rhea Ripley, and then saying, oh, well, by the way, here's also Rey Mysterio. You guys know him. And right next to him are the Viking Raiders. They're our tag team champions.
Got it. Okay.
I think that, first off, putting their women talent on the red carpet was a really, really good idea, because, I mean, all of them looked like stars on the red carpet, and they got a lot of publicity, got a lot of pictures taken. There were a lot of things that were done here that Ibu called it like a pamphlet for WWE, and that's what I felt like it was too. I don't think this is going to be – we're obviously not going to get this pomp and circumstance every week.
Sure.
Like, it's very clearly not going to happen, and I can even, you know, look at where the upcoming shows are. Like, let me see here. WWE Raw next week is in San Jose. Dallas, you know, maybe it would, because they've got a few big cities for – they've got Dallas, Atlanta, Cleveland, Nashville, Charlotte, Cincinnati, Buffalo, New York City. So they've got like through March, and then they go overseas. So I think that they very wisely constructed their schedule as well to involve some big cities. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hate to say it, my city, Cincinnati, is probably the least of those, in that crappy old building that almost caught on fire due to some pyro a few years ago. But like, they wisely scheduled this to hit some big markets and be able to do some cool things. I obviously, it's not going to have the same pomp and circumstance every week.
I couldn't help but chuckle when they showed Topanga, Danielle Fishel, on camera with her nameplate. And there's the dude sitting next to her who also was on the show.
Well,
that made me laugh a little bit.
Got a lot of publicity on that one.
Oh, did it?
And man, what about the Macaulay Culkin pop? What a worker. Yes, what a worker he is. He knew. Jimmy, listen, you're going to have to pay up, buddy. I went to that Macaulay Culkin screening of Home Alone, and they don't let you bring your phone in, so I tweeted about it afterwards. And guess who was getting aggregated based on his Macaulay Culkin Home Alone scoops?
Oh, is that right?
Right here. Oh, Comicbook.com, Yahoo, they were picking it up, buddy. I am not confined to pro wrestling.
He's over.
He is over, and it was sincerely fantastic.
Like, it was. I mean,
I went to New York largely because I liked Home Alone 2 so much. That's pretty much why I went. But
did you go looking for the pigeon lady?
No, but I did find that tunnel. I did absolutely find that tunnel. Yeah.
Stretch
yeah.
Park?
For sure. Yeah.
The biggest takeaway for me.
You know, one thing I always wondered, by the way, about the pigeon lady. Well, let's just back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. This woman was presumably without home, correct?
Correct. Correct. Well, she lived above a theater or something. Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
Presumably. Yeah. Presumably ain't got a lot of food.
Yes.
Right. Presumably.
I don't know where this is going.
I'll tell you where it's going. This little shit, Kevin McAllister, who I love, rolls out there on Christmas morning with a couple of turtle dove ornaments. He's like, here you go, lady. Here's a turtle dove.
One of them.
As his father screams at him about the $957 he spent on room service. You know that lady was like, how about a fucking panini, bro? Could have brought me some sliders or something. What is going on?
I mean, like, I don't know if saying to her credit is the right thing to say, but she looked well fed, Sean.
Oscar winner, Brenda Fricker, by the way. Brenda Fricker sounds like a creator wrestler name that AJ Styles would have made up. By the way, guys, get in your super chats, get in your Humper chats. We do have a bunch here, Jimmy, and we are ad-free throughout the rest of the show. Thanks to OGPN.com.
Yeah, let me just say my last point. My last point was to me, and tell me if you disagree or if you agree, this felt like the most corporate edition of WWE Raw I've ever watched in my life. The whole ringside was suits. Half the time, they were standing up, not even paying attention to the show. They were too busy talking to each other, shaking hands, hugging. You've got all the Endeavor guys on the floor. You had the Netflix guys up there. Rock's going over there, hugging Ari Emanuel. It's one thing for Hunter at the presser to say, hey, this is the biggest arena gate we've ever had. And it's one thing for Michael Cole on commentary to tell the television audience, right?
No.
For Rock to say it in the ring, the crowd didn't react.
No.
You know, did you want the crowd to celebrate? We just paid.
They did, Jimmy.
Not really. No. Not really.
Yes, they did.
Not really.
Go back and watch it.
I don't remember hearing a big pop for that.
John Alba even tweeted, they resoundingly applauded for that.
Okay, I don't recall hearing a pop for
that. Yes, they did. It was so ridiculous.
It was very strange that they, it was strange they put that over. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
This is what I want when Fightful Select goes to $6 at the end of the month. I want people to be like, hell yeah. Although I will say thank you to all of you who were very wonderful about that news, because the night before I definitely said on the air, yeah, I'm hoping to not raise prices. Then Jimmy hit me with, hey, we're raising prices.
I didn't know you said that. I had no idea. Yeah,
I definitely did. Super chats and Humper chats, guys. We got a lot of them. I'm going to go over to humperchats.com. Those will get read first. You know, from here on out, we're going to prioritize those. We got Anonymous saying, what is New Japan's reaction to the double turn between Kenny and Gabe? Was it planned or just something that happened naturally? If Gabe wasn't already, he's definitely a made man now. So listen, I've been a Gabe Kidd guy since late 2021. I liked his stuff in What Culture Pro Wrestling before that. I've been interviewing him for 3 years. When that man hits me up and says, let's get on an interview, I say when, and then we do it. Love doing stuff with him, but this was planned. This was orchestrated. Gabe Kidd knows how loyal those fans are. And when he, who was a member of the Bullet Club War Dogs for a long time, who ran roughshod over New Japan, came out there and took off his stuff, and he had a New Japan logo slapped on his thigh, he knew the reaction that was going to get. And New Japan fans have watched AJ Styles leave. They've watched members of Bullet Club leave. Even before that, Finn Balor leave, Nakamura, Okada, Ospreay, Omega, the Young Bucks. They have watched almost every top foreign talent that they love leave, including Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. And Gabe Kidd's whole story behind this, and I'm not sure how familiar you were with it, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. It was really piggybacking off of the Will Ospreay thing last year, where Will Ospreay said, yeah, Kenny was not doing the things that we did. He didn't go to New Japan through the pandemic, fly across war zones, get put in isolation for weeks. Gabe Kidd said that it drove him to be in a mental hospital for a little bit, which is accurate. It did.
Really, really.
And then after that, after he said all that, Will Ospreay left too. Mm-hmm. And Gabe Kidd's the guy working 120 times a year for New Japan. And then, as I put it, Kenny Omega is like, dad's back, got my cigarettes and milk. Here I am 5 years later. Yeah. Everything's okay. And Gabe Kidd said, no, it's not okay. You can't just stroll in here and be cool with the stuff that I have helped build in your absence. So I thought it was a kick-ass story. Gabe Kidd is next level. I've been telling you guys he was next level. It made me feel very, very good because when people said, who do you want Kenny to face upon his return? I said, Gabe Kidd. And people went, huh? Very, very happy with how that ended up. It was phenomenal.
So I haven't seen Wrestle Dynasty or Wrestle Kingdom yet because my weekends are for my kids and I can't stay up till the wee morning hours because it's going to screw up my weekend. But I have seen a bunch of highlights. And the first thing I wanted to ask you about, and I've talked to you off the air about this, Chris Charlton. I'll be honest, Sean, I didn't even know who the hell he was. I didn't. New Japan's
He's a commentator.
Yeah, in New Japan's English commentator. I hit you up when I heard this story and I said, tell me he wasn't this dumb. And I said to you, what did he say? Can you catch us up on what the hell happened with him? Because there were reports elsewhere about an indefinite suspension. Fightful Select cleared it up.
Yeah, no. I'll explain to you exactly the order of events that happened. This was largely an AEW versus New Japan match, as perpetuated by Gabe Kidd, not by Kenny. Kenny was like, oh man, I'm just so happy to be here. But Gabe Kidd made it a New Japan AEW thing. And Chris Charlton really helped hammer that home and probably went beyond what New Japan was comfortable with, especially when you've got a New Japan executive who also works for AEW in the commentary booth.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
With you and Rocky Romero. And Rocky Romero helped bridge that gap an awful lot. And Chris Charlton called Tony Khan a money mark. And that is not something really within the sense of kayfabe that you ever say.
Yes.
And then he said, well, they took Ospreay, Okada, and Switchblade and haven't done anything with them, which again is a booking thing within the context of kayfabe. Also, listen, Will Ospreay had one of the greatest in-ring years of all time. Switchblade has main evented pay-per-views. You can say that he hasn't done as much as you had expected. That's fine. Okada, you know, jury's out on that one. But also, I'm sure New Japan wasn't exactly thrilled that it's like, man, you're making it look like we can't keep our guys. Mm-hmm. But also in Japan, they are much more strict about, you know, how you talk and treat your business partners. Because like, we have seen them completely eradicate partnerships with TNA and not bring them back for over a decade because of things that they did. So I heard that AEW and Tony weren't happy about it, but that the decision was already made and it was called an indefinite suspension or an indefinite absence or hiatus elsewhere. We were told that it was a 2-month suspension.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he wasn't playing a heel commentator, right? He was playing it straight.
I think he was, but.
Because I guess it makes a bit of a difference, but I understand what you're saying.
Well, I don't even think it's a heel commentator if you're a New Japan fan. Like, it's just a guy who's saying that.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, the good news for AEW, as you've mentioned, Kenny Omega is back. I think he could be the shot in the arm that they need because they need something. Do you think that he ends up in a title program with Moxley? He's going to have the inevitable match with Okada, but otherwise, do you think that he's going to end up in a title program with Moxley?
I think right now the plan is to build him all the way up to something with Okada. And I thought it would result in TNT or international title. and then them combining those titles at All In. What I would do now is have Kenny win the world title, right, and then have that lead to a unification at All In. That's what I would do, because I all due respect to John Moxley, whose work I really like. I don't think you can keep this going for like 5 months until Darby is back from Mount Everest. Yeah. Again, and not trying to be morbid or make light of it, assuming Darby comes back from Mount Everest, it's a very dangerous thing. I don't think you can look at a guy climbing Mount Everest and go, yeah, let's go ahead and make big world title plans for him after that. Cause you don't know what kind of condition he'll be in or anything like that.
Yeah. But yeah. And I, with all due respect to Darby, I don't know if Darby as champion is going to really move the needle as much. I think Omega's the man, I think. So I'd like to see him back in that title picture. He was great as a heel champion. Now he'd be a babyface champion, I presume. So I'd like to see.
I would expect, if Darby wins, Christian to immediately win the title. But here was my pitch to end the Death Riders, even if you don't switch the title. I would have, as things stand, rated FTR, bring in Beth Phoenix to counteract Marina. And then I would have Beth and FTR, as the numbers game still is too much for them, assuming Pat comes back soon, them to be like, Adam, you know, you got to reach out, or Cope, you know who you got to reach out to. Like, the only guy that we know that can be more of a piece of shit than John Moxley. And Copeland's like, I don't want to do it. And then Beth gives him the okay, and he reaches out to Christian. And you might say, well, why the hell would Christian do that? Because when on earth is he ever going to get the cash in that thing? Unless they get it off of Mox, because Death Riders aren't going to let him. Mm-hmm. You're always going to have Wheeler Yuta or Marina or somebody there, and it's them fighting each other for the greater good and all that stuff. And end it. Joseph Molina says, have the Omega win the world title and have Darby break up the Death Riders. The Death Riders just is not doing it for me. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what is all these super chats and humper chats. And New Lack City says, hey guys, how can WWE be so tone deaf doing a deal with Hogan's crappy beer, rolling him out on Monday? Do they have shares in his beer? Company this big cannot be stupid. I never want to see him again. I believe you said they did, Jimmy.
Yes. So the press release that I wrote, they have a stake in the company.
Sorry.
That they have a stake in the company. And I read
your fault.
Yeah. I read some stuff about the sales of this beer. Yeah. So apparently it's not coast to coast yet from what I read. They're in particular states, and I'm sure you can kind of guess what states they're in. But apparently it's doing well. Apparently it's selling really well. And so I think WWE, so I read up about this beer brand. So it's from a white label company out of Chicago. You know what white label means?
I do not.
White label means that they're already producing beer and they just throw a real American label on this particular brand.
Okay.
And they do stuff for Pabst Blue Ribbon and other stuff. It's a white label brewery in Chicago. So
basically a ghost kitchen for beer.
Kind of like that. Yeah. Kind of like that. And so my guess is WWE probably didn't have to throw a lot of money at it to get in. And if they see that it's selling, I can understand them thinking we get this thing national and it could do really well. But yeah, that's it.
Jesse Polanco says Hogan defenders kick rocks. If you need to defend a self-proclaimed racist because you liked him 40 years ago because of his politics, you're the problem. Like, listen, nobody's erasing your childhood memories. Like, nobody's saying go back in time and dislike Hulk Hogan when you were a little kid. Like, you all just got to understand realistically why people don't mess with him anymore. Why a whole lot of people don't mess with him anymore. And,
You know something? I have seen the body slam at WrestleMania 3 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. I'll probably see it 1,000 more. I have seen the mega power stuff a bunch. I'll see it more. But am I tuning in to see Hulk Hogan on a podcast in 2025? No, I'm just not. I mean, that's just
the only reason I would is to, which again, I have rejected potential interviews with Hulk Hogan in the past. So I can say that as someone with experience, I would in order to fact check him. And that's about it. Crispy Chris says, An important FYI, Hogan Mattel figures are typically released in series as Build-A-Figure set, which forces collectors to try to buy to get the head of another. That's a fair point. That is a fair point. Where else we got? I thought there was another Hogan. Oh, yeah. Corey says in the 80s, it's smoking vitamins and racist in 2024. Well, 2025 now, buddy.
Yeah.
It's beer, but yeah. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. Matt says, any truth about Penta debut being changed last minute? Nope, absolutely not. Was not changed last minute. Talent were expecting to see Becky and Penta there, but they weren't there. Fightful Select did report this week. Becky is under contract, but they don't have necessarily a date set for her return. But she is signed with WWE at this point.
The Becky thing to me was when she showed up at the Netflix event.
Yeah,
that to me indicated that she was probably back in. And the Penta thing, you know what's silly? I heard about that Penta rumor. You know what's silly? This reminds me of when people said, Sasha, Mercedes Moné, she was going to debut, but they ran out of time, whatever bullshit.
Zero Netflix, news, dude. Yeah, is that
right?
That
like, people have to remember, on Netflix, there are no time constraints. If Raw wants to go till 11:30 Eastern, they can. So this stuff about, oh, Penta was going to debut, but they ran out of time. Obviously, that was bullshit. I mean, obviously. Yeah.
There was also some stuff saying that they were going to put Becky in the Undertaker spot for the Rhea Ripley match. And, like, she wasn't at the venue. I think I had put, like, she wasn't in L.A. Well, she was in L.A. She's got a house there. Hopefully, she's not in L.A. right now because, you know.
Right, yes.
Please stay safe, everybody out there in L.A. due to those fires. But, she wasn't there. Alex says a Pat McAfee show roasting Hogan was hilarious. I saw that. Like, I will work on a story about all this and reactions and all that, because I've also seen some stuff where I've seen some stuff out there reported where I think people believe that they won't get debunked about it because they're just reporting things that they think that. Listen, that's a different conversation for a different day, I guess. I don't want to go off on that tangent, but New Lack City says Raw was okay for what it was meant to accomplish, but it made no sense for The Rock to come out after Mania, Bad Blood, and play nice with Cody and be WWE's company man. Please spare me the gaslighting sheep who say long-term storytelling. Jimmy, I can't speak to whether if Dave Meltzer's report in the fall was right, that he told them then that he couldn't work Mania. But I followed up a month later, and people in creative were telling me, yeah, we were told to prepare for him not to work Mania. And they said that knowing that he could stroll in on April 13th and say, I want to wrestle Eddie Thorpe from NXT on WrestleMania. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And they would do that. Like, it's just the way it is. And then I had people after Bad Blood say, well, he wouldn't have done 1, 2, 3, 4. Like that. He wouldn't have done all that for no reason. And I'm like, are you unfamiliar with this man?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying
he comes and goes as he pleases. Yeah, it's true.
And I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm just saying, are you unfamiliar with him? He rolls up. He does one night appearances all the time and he leaves. And I got no problem with that. He's The Rock. He's one of the biggest celebrities ever. If you can get him on your show, you put him on your show. Like, I'm completely fine with that. But, like, come on, let's not be unfamiliar with this guy. He does that.
I should note, too, that so he was on NXT last night, and he poked fun at the fact that, oh, people were mad when I was mean to Cody, and now they're mad that I was nice to Cody. And he tried to allude to the fact I'm 20 steps ahead. So he tried to allude to this is part of his plan. I'm 20 steps ahead. I like that he at least tried to address it.
Shit. That's sad. I'm sure he has some like semblance of an idea when he could maybe hypothetically wrestle again or something like that.
Right.
But as of right now, as of this moment, creative is planning for him to not be at WrestleMania in a performance capacity. Arduit says, actually, we've got New Lack City who sent a humper chat, and I do want to prioritize those. He says, I think AEW has been doing a better job the last few months than people give them credit for. One thing really lacking is a big-time face. Sucks that Eddie Kingston is not healthy because I'd love for him to beat Mox. Has to be Omega or Mox now. So, New Lack City, I agree. It's actually a point that I saw Dave Meltzer bring up, and I think it was really, really important. AEW needs that babyface that your audience loves that doesn't really lose. And I think now those two people, I think it should be two people, maybe three, because Swerve was that last year. Swerve was that, and he got over big. But I think it should be Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega, both of them. And then they should be on a collision course eventually for one another. Will Ospreay took his L's in 2024, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see him losing anymore. He is a special talent. And what is unique about him, Jimmy, I think that he perfectly exemplifies the AEW fan because you see how much he loves in-ring wrestling. He's very passionate about that. And I think that they should just, I don't think either one of those guys should be losing. And it should be built. And that's your big ass match. And then you still got Swerve out there. You got Hangman Page, who I think is the main character of AEW in a lot of senses. You got four guys right there. And that's in addition to when Danielson comes back and when Moxley is around and all that stuff. You've got a lot of people to build around. You just got to MJF. You got to make these guys as special as humanly possible now.
I agree. I think losing Cody really hurt them. Losing Punk really hurt them.
Sting, even. They don't have Sting anymore. They don't have Danielson on their show anymore.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yep. You definitely need that guy. I agree. I mean, if you look back through WWE over the last 20, 30 years, you know, when they didn't have Stone Cold and didn't have Rock, then they built Cena. Cena was the guy. They had Randy Orton. They've had different guys that could fill that spot. Now they got Cody Rhodes. And I guess you could even say Punk and Rollins too. So I agree that they need to have that guy. Kenny, to me, is the guy. Well, Ospreay's great too. Like, Ospreay's good too. And he's got presence and he's got good personality. But what I love about Kenny is he's just a pro's pro. You know, like he'll be out there in suits. The guy speaks Japanese. And he'll be out there in suits and he's so articulate. You can put him in a mainstream interview and he just comes off like a pro's pro. Like, to me, Omega, if he stays healthy, Omega's the guy I would look to carry that title in 25.
Man, we've got a bunch of super chats. I want to thank you all so much. Again, we are outside of sponsors. We are dependent on what you guys subscribe to and donate because, listen, we ain't making a bunch of money off of clickety-clacks, not in 2025. So I want to say thank you. It says, questions. Thoughts if they pivot to Omega over Darby in the Death Riders angle? How do you reheat Mox after this, face or heel? Any idea if Cara Noir will ever do a U.S. excursion, maybe to AEW? The Cara Noir thing is more of a question for Corey Brennan. I wouldn't be surprised if Cara Noir did. How do you reheat Mox after this, face or heel? I would really love it if it was really thrown in Mox's face. Like, you weren't doing this for the better of AEW. You were doing this for selfish reasons. Like, that's why. That's why you were doing it. Let's be real about it. And I think Mox will always find a way to get over until he's, like, you know, Jericho's age or something. But yes, I would pivot to Omega over Darby in that angle. And that's nothing against Darby. Mm-hmm. I think Darby is a heel. The should have been me heel could be good.
It'd be very different. Yeah. And things you could do with the face paint and all that. I think Mox loses the title and goes away for a while. I think you got to get him off TV. This character hasn't worked at all. So I would get him off TV, keep him away for a few months. When they come back, people are happy to see him. So that's what I would do.
Have you heard of any WWE PLE countries outside the USA? Sort of.
Canada. Come on. Canada.
Well, obviously, I'm coming there next month. First time I'm flying out of Lexington to go to Toronto. I'm doing the connecting flight. That way I don't have to hit up Cincinnati, but I will be in Toronto at the end of next month. But no, I think they're going to keep going to a lot of international places. 10 minutes of time for women on a 3-hour show. Where's the criticism that AEW would get if they did this? And yet this company adds women's titles. Well, I mean, listen, there is hypocritical stuff all over pro wrestling commentary and all that stuff. And I'm going to pay as little attention to that in 2025 as I possibly can, But also Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceovers, Fightful Award sponsor. But yeah, the WWE adding women's titles is a concern for me because they already don't develop contenders for their top two titles. And they clearly had women that were getting over that they weren't going to put in a world title spot. I don't mind the titles being there in theory, but You got to execute with them. Got to do well with them. I kind of think that one mid-card title would have been okay. But also, then people would be like, well, why is there one mid-card title and multiple world titles? It kind of dilutes the world title in a way by not adding another one.
They have such a deep roster in NXT. And now that Julia won the NXT women's title, maybe Roxanne comes up now. You know,
Roxanne should be coming up. Yeah. I would have her immediately come up and go face to face with Bayley. And it's like looking at a mirror in a lot of ways. Joseph Morris says, thoughts on this? Liv Becky at Mania. I don't think they've got Becky's Mania plans set, but I don't think that'd be bad. Although Eboo's idea of Judgment Day and the Wyatts, I think would be kind of cool as well. Liv wins Queen of the Ring. I'd be completely fine with Liv winning Queen of the Ring. You want to rack up those accolades for her. Liv beats babyface Tiffany for the women's title at SummerSlam. Hope Liv isn't left off the WrestleMania card. She will not be left off the WrestleMania card. I think that her feuding with Tiffany would be a good approach. I would get Liv probably soon away from Judgment Day. After WrestleMania, I'd get her away from Judgment Day. I'd like her to stay with Dom. I think they're a good pairing. But I think after Mania, it's time to break up Judgment Day. And in fact, I would probably do a loser splits up match at Mania.
Do you think that they'll ever do Rhea Dom, like a one-on-one intergender match? Think they'll ever do that?
No, I think that what we saw on Monday was as close as we'll get to that.
Right, okay. So that's like the closure of the whole thing right there.
Yeah. Meet Norma says, added NordVPN.com/Fightful before Wrestle Dream and Dynasty. Already worth it. Buddy Matthews and Ospreay could be match of the year. Excited for Dynamite. Will MJF, Omega cross paths? They have to at some point. That's one that they gotta do. I think if anything, it's so funny because I used to think this about Strikeforce MMA back in the day. You remember when they would do
Not Martel and Tito.
No. Remember when they would set up tournaments and they clearly had people in the semifinals and finals in mind, right? And it would never work. They would always lose. AEW had a whole lot of matches like that in mind. And these people get sick or they get hurt. Mm-hmm. You do them when now, do them now, do them as soon as possible. Yes, they will cross paths. Matthews and Ospreay. I think that could be an early match of the year contender. It's going to be tough to beat Gabe Kidd and Kenny Omega already, but Netflix has a superstar profile series that helps. I need to check that out.
They met with the intro videos and all that, yeah.
Now that Penta is involved in WWE, I have a feeling they'll get George Kittle involved in the offseason. Penta Kittle tag team at Mania. No, they will not team at Mania. I know this because Kittle got in trouble for getting physical without approval from the NFL last time.
Did he?
Yes, he did. But I almost guarantee that George Kittle will show up in some capacity. We'll do something with Penta, I'm sure. I'm sure he'd love that. Still crazy. Rock on NXT before Roman. All three brands have new women's champions. Nice reboot. Yeah, I felt like this. Listen, man, the last half of 2024, it was not the best creatively, I didn't think. There were some great creative things, but there were also some things where I was like, let's move past this, man.
You mean in NXT or do you mean in general?
All over the place.
Yeah, I thought WWE. It felt like they were waiting for the Netflix deal to start. That's how it felt.
I love Sheamus, but goddamn, man, him and Ludwig Kaiser have been feuding for like 7 months, man.
Yes, I agree. Like, and NXT felt the same way. Do you think Trick now gets called up?
That's an interesting one.
Because he's done it all. What else is there to do in NXT?
Yeah, and I mean, God, it would suck to go like undo a lot of the stuff with Carmelo that they did in NXT, but
yeah.
I could see them reuniting on the main roster eventually.
Tag team, maybe.
If they don't do something substantial with Carmelo, which they should, he's been phenomenal. Josh Mansfield says, SRS, thanks again for popping in on New Year's Eve. Yeah, I popped in on the No DQ stream or some friends of No DQ. It was great to see you, buddy. By the way, it was great to finally share the screen with you. He says, love Taker giving Rhea and the rub and passing the torch. I thought that was a great moment.
You want to know what's funny? So when he first came out, when Taker first came out, I was actually mad because he didn't look at Rhea at all when he went down the aisle with the bike. Rhea was standing off to the side and he was just looking straight ahead going. And I thought to myself, they're going to do Rhea like that. But then, of course, he came back and acknowledged her. So there you go. That was all right.
Josh, great to hear from you. And also thank you to Jeff Meacham for inviting me on that stream. I read his stuff. Gosh, when I was a teenager, I was reading his Q&As and stuff online. K775 says, since we saw Bayley and Adam Pearce speaking on Monday, next week Raw is in San Jose. You think Bayley challenges Rhea at the Rumble?
I wouldn't. Right now.
I still wouldn't hate it. But something like maybe something big to lure Bayley over. Because listen, if you, I think that that's okay. In wrestling, I largely like somebody to win a battle royal, win a tournament, win a gauntlet, something to get a title shot, right, or to be coming off of a hot streak. Or you can have Adam Pearce say, Bayley is a world-class talent. If I've got to give her a title shot to get her over here, that's what I'll do. Just make it make sense. Like, I'm completely fine with that.
And if you're into hockey, I saw that Bayley is doing promotional stuff with the San Jose Sharks.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
That's cool. Crazy 101 says, thoughts on Royal Rumble 26 being in Saudi.
They already had the greatest Royal Rumble before. I know that there's no stakes in that, but whatever. I don't really think much of it. I mean, is Punk going to work? I heard Punk doesn't like Saudi. Is Punk going to work the Rumble?
I don't think Punk's going to work it. I don't think so. I can't say that definitively, but yeah, I mean, listen, they're getting either a lot of money or a reduction of dates in order to do that. So
you have to remember that they make as much off one of those shows as they do at Mania.
Probably so, more. Probably more.
Maybe more now. It's like 50 mil per, I think, is what Brandon Burstyn had calculated.
Vince says, any chance Cena goes after Gunther instead of Cody? Feels like it'd be a no-win situation for Cody. Maybe. I think that Gunther would be honestly, I think it'd be a pretty clear win for Cena. I think at least with Cody, it gives you some doubt. But I think the mirror match, so to speak, of Cody and Cena would be kind of cool, and it would get a lot of buzz. I think you'd get them the right kind of buzz. If The Rock's not there, I think you go that, because then what does Cody do at Mania? Like, who's Cody facing?
Yeah, not Cena. That's it. You think Cody'd put over Cena? Like, do you think that hurt Cody at all?
I don't think it hurt Cody a bit. I think Cody would probably win the title back eventually from him.
Okay.
Math says, my issue with Netflix premiere, WWE should have showcased new talent to Raw to new fans instead of the new talent being ringside or in the lounge. I don't disagree with that. I think that Gunther should have been featured in a more prominent role. I'm glad they did at least a catch-up of him, but I would have liked to see him, the world champion of the show, featured a little bit more.
Yeah. I understand why they went with, okay, we have a lot of new fans. They know who The Rock is. They know who John Cena is. Like, I can understand it. But, yeah, like I said, corporate, very corporate.
Yeah. Somebody says, let's see here. Do you know why WWE didn't announce NXT Stand and Deliver or the Hall of Fame 2025? So I know that Stand and Deliver last go around got announced in November. So I don't have an answer on that. Hall of Fame, they didn't announce inductees until like a few weeks before.
I remember
this past year. Like, it's very common. So that isn't out of the norm, so to speak.
Do you have any sense of who might be inducted?
No, I had somebody try to feed me a few months ago that Jazz was contacted for it.
Okay.
But, well, listen, you say okay, but my belief on that was it was somebody thinking they could just tell me something who had never fed me news before and get me to report it. And then people would be excited about Jazz. And then WWE would be like, well, we got to put Jazz in now. That's what I thought. But Sean, do you have any information on Camille? Brian Alvarez recently indicated we might never see her in AEW again. Any truth to that? The people that I spoke with said that she hadn't mentioned anything regarding that. But it is something that I'm actively working on. Like, it is something that I keep looking into, and it would be an incredible waste if they didn't. She should come back. She should feud with Mercedes. They should do that. If they don't, it is a monumental waste. It really is. But, like, say hypothetically, like, she signed a one-year deal. Again, hypothetically. That it wouldn't be that long before that deal is like up.
Yeah, because they didn't use her for a while after the news
didn't use
came
her
out.
For a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Been meaning to ask, if Rhea never got injured, who do you think she would have lost the title to? Liv. She would have lost the title to Liv. I think that Becky winning it was a bridge to get to live being a heel and doing dastardly things. I think that's what that was, but I think it was going to be Liv.
So you don't think Rhea was, because I thought Rhea was going to do one of these long title reigns. You don't think she was going to do like the long title reign?
I mean, like longer, not really. No, I think that
this was the vision all along.
I mean, didn't she hold it for quite a while before that?
I don't know, but it
or had she just like regained it?
She got it at Mania, I think.
But No. Jimmy, she had held that title.
Oh, she was the champion going into Mania?
She beat Becky Lynch and retained it over Becky. You don't remember shit from earlier last year.
There are so many shows now, Sean. There are so many shows now.
Watch the product, guys. This is the guy raising your Fightful Select prices. Right here, guys. This is the guy. This is the guy taking an extra Zag nut off your table a month.
No. This is the guy that spent 8 years dealing with raises and inflation and never increasing the price. That's who this guy is.
That's fair. I haven't asked for a raise in 3 years, though. Uh-huh. Joel Allison says, growing up a big ECW guy, then basically gave up on wrestling till AEW started. Never dialed WWE more. Joel, I don't know what you mean by that. Dialed WWE more?
Never dialed. I don't know. Thanks for the super chat, though.
I appreciate it, Joel. Listen, I'm glad you're back. Glad you like AEW. I am also a big ECW guy. Big ECW guy. Really, really loved it. Really did. I've got a Blu-ray over there of the original ECW on TNN broadcast, complete with music and everything.
Did you see that belt stuff that they found?
I did. It was hideous.
It was very hideous. It was different. Yeah.
Hideous. And Jesse Polanco says Darby Brody tag team is my wish. Mox loses the belt, goes nuts till Kingston comes out, calls him out on his BS, like you said, SRS. Yeah, I think that eventually that story is it leads to something like him being confronted by Kingston, but I don't know how much longer you can keep the title on him. I don't think he's losing it next week in his hometown. That's for damn sure. Mm-hmm. But maybe he said he's never been dialed into WWE as much as he is today. Listen, I hope you enjoyed that as well.
And I just realized the time and I have to go get my son, Sean.
It's okay. I will read this last super chat, guys. Ryan says, any update on Malachi's AEW contract status? He's not been off on TV of late. Is he on his way out? The way that I had always been told was that they would have option years that would extend beyond this year. I haven't heard if AEW has picked them up, exercised them when or when they would not have done that. But guys, leave a thumbs up. We would greatly appreciate it. Leave some questions, comments in the comments. We greatly appreciate it. FightfulSelect.com. How about this? Got some JoJo news coming to FightfulSelect.com. Soon to be the best $6 a month or $64 a year in the business. But right now, you can lock in that price through the end of January, $54 a year. Thank you all so much. I am back here tonight with the post-AEW show. I have to go salt my driveway. Until next time, we're out.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.